Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
And today, as we start with the second half of the year, the month of July, I want to talk to you and deal with you about something very important as we face the second half of 2021. I've entitled this message, Back to the Core. The most important thing that you're going to need to be able to set aright the second half of this year. As you know, from last year and to the middle of this year, we've learned something from COVID. We don't have control. We've seen government struggle. We've seen businesses lose value. We've seen all sorts of things that we realize our own abilities are limited and we have no control. Our activities are now very limited and have failed us, even our own religious activities. And finally, our attitudes, even our own attitudes, have somehow not measured up to the situation. The one thing that allows us to be able to make sure the second half of this year becomes fruitful is prayer. And over the course of the next 4 weeks, I want to talk to you exactly about that. In fact, I dare say this, that I would encourage you to master the idea or the concept or the practice of prayer in your life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus explains to his disciples, "This then is how you should pray." I want to preface this before I continue here. This is, in my opinion, the most effective prayer you can ever pray if you can learn it. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Through the years of my own faith, I've seen this prayer work each and every time very effectively. Notice the three words, "Our Father in heaven." And these are the three words I want to talk about this week, and I'm going to continue with three more messages along this same prayer line. But for this message, I want you to understand these words, "Our Father in heaven." He begins with saying "our," which simply means that that's for everyone. It says it's theirs or they, it's ours. This is something that is available not just to me or mine, but to our, for everyone. This is something that anyone and everyone can have access to, and this is what Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples. While we know that prayer meetings work and the prayer of a pastor works, the truth of the matter is the best prayer is not something you outsource. And very often, that's what we do with prayer. We stand in a prayer line. We wait for other people to pray with us. We outsource our prayer life rather than our source our prayer life. Our sourcing your prayer life is to know that prayer is for you on a very personal level, anytime, anywhere, wherever you are. And that's an important thing to understand. The first point of prayer is it's for everyone. Young, old, whoever you are, you have access to God, male or female. Secondly, it's personal. Our means this is mine, this is personal. Very often, we are trapped in this idea of cookie-cutter spirituality. We think that everything applies to everybody, and the reality is that's not the case because we are all very different people. But in the midst of that, while it's for everybody, it is actually very personal. Some people argue that while cookie-cutter may be like that, there are other forms of cookie-cutters. But the fact is, no matter what you do is, there are no amount of shapes and sizes to fit us because God deals with us in a very personal way. Take note of how he spoke to Abraham using the stars. He took walks with Enoch and Isaac. He spoke to Joseph through dreams and to Moses through a bush. He spoke to Daniel through visions. He whispered to Elijah. He knocked Saul off his horse, and even Martin Luther saw thunder and lightning. On a personal note, I like taking walks. I like walking with God. I like secular music, which I use to inspire me. And sometimes jazz music makes me cry thinking about God. And sometimes it's nature, birds, sun, trees. It really varies because we're all different. The point is, it's for everyone, but it's personal. And finally, it means about being kindred. When you say something is our tribe, our home, our place, our car, it's something that we're familiar with. It's not just ours. It's something that we're kindred with. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "God created mankind in his own image." He repeats the same line and says, "In the image of God, he created them male and female." When you are part of a family or a tribe, there's similarities that make you very similar in the way you operate. And while the devil wants to make us think that we're distant relatives of God, God wants us to know we are part of the tribe. and not just part of the tribe. What we know for sure that he's holy, but we know that we can be holy because we're made in his image. The starting point is to come close to God because you know this can be made real to you by prayer. The more we start with prayer, knowing it's for everyone, that it's personal, but at the same time, we are not distant relatives. We are actually sons and daughters of the living God, which is why he says, our Father. When you talk about a father, many times that's where we get our identities. And for us or some others who probably did not have fathers who gave them their identities, we think that's just a name. Or some of us, we identify with our thumb marks or our thumbprints. I like the movie Born Identity, which speaks about identity. Knowing who you are when there's no one else to base it on comes from knowing who your Father in heaven is. In that movie, it shows about Jason Bourne looking around his vault in the Swiss bank, and he saw his different passports and IDs. And in looking at all those IDs, he realized that as he looked at that, he didn't know who he was. Some of it was fake. Some of it was expired, and some of it was real, but it really wasn't his true identity. Our identities are known to us the more we stand in the presence of God in prayer. When we know it's for everyone, when we know it's a personal time to be with God and that we have access because we're kindred to not just somebody whom we're not distantly related to, but literally our Father, then we understand the presence of God. The failure of most fathers on earth is their absence. The goodness of our Father in heaven is he's never absent. He's forever present every day of your life. In Psalm 116, verse 11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Probably one verse that gives me life on a daily basis is to know that in God's presence is fullness of joy. When you learn how to tap into the presence of God, to stand there, to look for him, to be with him, there is fullness. By the way, that's not an exaggeration. Many people think that God exaggerates when he says these things. It's probably because you haven't learned and mastered being in his presence. When you've learned to do that on a daily basis, multiple times in the day, you will master the ability of standing in his presence. And as a result of that, you will have fullness of joy. The benefit of that is the joy of the Lord is your strength. At 64 years old, I can testify to you, it's not the pull-ups and the sit-ups, while that helps, or the squats, it's this thing. When you know, even when you're exercising, that you're in the presence of God, you will have fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you learn the presence of God, you actually are no longer worried that you can't travel, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, because you've learned in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the book of Genesis, we find Adam and Eve sinning against God. As a result of that, their guilt caused them to hide from him. And as they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, speaking of the presence of God, God was not running, he wasn't rushing, he wasn't mad. He was walking in the cool of the day in a garden. The setting was a place for the presence of God. Notice that it says they hid from his presence, from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. We've learned to do this. Our forefathers and generations of people among us, our tribes and relatives, have learned to hide from God. We've learned how to avoid his presence rather than stay in his presence. It's not a natural prayer muscle that we have. We do it in religious terms rather than standing in his presence. Notice what happens next. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? By the way, prayer is not about the words you say or the religious actions you do. It's a call from God. And if you remember this, there's a call from God every day for you to stand in his presence. And he says, where are you? That's, by the way, that's the daily call of prayer. Where are you? Where are you in this a relationship of ours? Where are you in my presence? Notice what happens when Adam confesses out of the abundance of his heart, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid. Fear is the number one reason why we live a life of fear, is because we're outside of God's presence. Every time we hide from the presence of God or avoid the presence of God, we will find fear. It'll be the natural day of our lives. not only fear, I was naked or insecure, and finally we will learn how to hide some more. It's kind of like the dog that's trying to chase his tail. A never-ending rigmarole of tiredness because we can't seem to get anywhere. You see, it's one thing to know about prayer. Totally different thing to learn about prayer. Totally different thing to learn about something and fully understand it. It's a different matter to apply it, to master it, and to make it second nature. I admonish you as your pastor, as your friend, learn prayer in the second half of this year. Learn prayer as for everyone. It's personal to you. It's not so far away because it's designed for you by your Father who is forever present in your life. When you experience that, you'll experience the power and provision of God. And you will not have the fear that you always have because you realize that this power is palpable and real and true. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, when you learn to stay, to dwell, to stand there in the presence of God, it doesn't have to be long. It actually has to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's spiritual and not mental. It's not religious. It's not a practice. It's when you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, the highest, greatest, most powerful person in the world, you will learn to rest in His shadow. Our children rest in our shadows. They experience things for free that are valuable, not because they're really free, but because we love them. And that's the same with God. That's why He says, come into my kingdom. Come into my presence. Because in my kingdom, the children have privileges in the kingdom. And by the way, that word privilege in the kingdom is where we get the word pre and the word dom or the word praedom, the old English term which means freedom. Freedom comes because somebody loves you. And that love comes when you stand in His presence. And when you do that every day, seeking first that kingdom and standing in the presence of that walled castle of God, you'll enjoy the freedom of God. Freedom from fear, freedom from insecurity, freedom from trying to hide and pretend about your career, your job, who you are, your failures, your mistakes, but freedom to live the child that you were meant to be in His kingdom. Prayer does that for you. His presence, His power, His provision is in His kingdom. And finally, not just that, His protection. It says in Psalm 91 verse 1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty is watching over you. This is not my son and my grandchildren, but every time I watch this, I remember my kids and their own kids. When your Father is holding you, when your Father has you in His arms, there is no fear. When you know that God is your Father and He is present and He is full of power and provision and protection, you will never fear. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the shadow of the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil simply because you're with me. Think about this for a minute. Every time you stand in the presence of God, even though you're walking in the darkest valley, you will fear no evil. Why? Because you know God is present. Speaking of waters and children, I love this picture of Jesus reaching out to Peter who's now drowning. By the way, the only way you're going to learn how to swim is be in the water. And the only way you're going to understand the protection and the plan and the purposes of God is walk on water. You'll probably sink for a while, but you'll also realize one thing. Your Father is there. His presence is there. His power is there. His provision. He'll protect you. But more importantly, you're going to learn. You're going to learn that He's not just your Father. He's in heaven. In other words, He has all access. He sees you each and every time. He's with you, and He will never leave you. He's there all the time. All the time. All the time. When you master that, when you become so aware of that, that His comfort is ready each and every time, when you know that you pray in the Spirit, it says at all times on every occasion. How do you do that? All times on every occasion. All times. All the time. On every occasion. How do you do that? He says in the same way that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He says, we're weak. We don't know how to do this thing. In fact, Jesus said that. The spirit is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is, our flesh is weak. We can't do it. And even our own spirit is weak. In fact, he says, you don't know how to pray. You don't know when, you don't know how, you don't know where. Sometimes you don't even know why. But here's the good news. The Spirit Himself teaches you, not with words, wordless groans in the Spirit. When you know how to pray in the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit at all times, you're going to see the presence of God, the power and provision of God, the protection of God. You will lose every semblance of fear and insecurity and doubt. You're going to lose every semblance of even wanting to sin. Because you're just going to realize in His presence is fullness of joy. And in His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now notice where it says our Father in heaven. He says it's all the time, but more than that, it's any time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17 tells us, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Notice the words pray without ceasing. It's one thing to pray all the time. It's another thing to pray anytime. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute of the day, you actually are praying because you're standing in the presence of your Father in heaven. Please, please, pretty please, stop being religious this year. Jesus is the God who came to earth to become man. I was sharing this with a recent man that I'm sharing the gospel to. He said, almost all religions are similar to your faith, except for Jesus. I said, I know, because Jesus gave me access. He gave me the ability to have access to heaven 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't have to work for it. It's kind of like oxygen. It's very natural. It's everywhere. I can do it anytime. I don't have to think about breathing. In fact, it's more natural for me to breathe than not to breathe. When we understand that we can pray anytime, all the time, then we know we can pray when we're showering, when we're shaving, when we're brushing our teeth, when we're doing the laundry, when we're washing our clothes, when we're gardening, maybe even while we're eating and taking a break or at the end of the day. When we understand prayer to be something that is God-given to us for everyone, but is personal, and something that is not far-fetched, it's something that was designed for us in mind by our Father who's present, who provides for us the power and provision and protection of our lives, and we choose to do it all the time, anytime, then we can choose to do it anywhere. The scripture tells us in Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the top of the hill, you're there. If I go to the mountains, you're there. In other words, this year, learn to pray when you're sitting and chilling at home with your wife and children or by yourself. Learn to do it when you're in a commute. Learn to do it when you're in the office. I've had friends who said, I've seen it. I've seen it time and time again while in the business of the office. I'll take a moment and go to the restroom and pray just to be alone for a while. Learn to pray when you are in a boat. Learn to pray when you're in the middle of a desert. Learn to pray when you're top of the mountain. Learn to pray all the time. Learn to pray anytime and learn to pray anywhere. As I close this message, I want to review this for you. Prayer as Jesus taught us, the most effective prayer of all time, begins with knowing it's for us. It's for everyone. But to also know it's personal. It's you and me, and God will speak to you in ways. One of my favorite words that God always tells me is, Joey, wait. Actually, my really, real favorite is, Joey, watch. When I hear Him say that, I already know what's going to happen. He's going to do something so marvelous, I won't believe it. And I want you to believe and to realize and understand, one day you're going to have that. You're going to learn to have this personal realization when you learn and understand and apply, master, and learn to have prayer as second nature, that you're kindred with it. And not just that, that's for everyone in personal prayer, but it's about your Father. And your Father gives you the identity that you need. The more you pray, the more you begin to realize who you are. I'm a child of God. I'm not Joey Bonifacio. I am a literal child of God. I'm made in the image of God. I'm made for success. I'm made for eternity. And I know His presence. And I know His power and provision. And I know His protection. And I know that He's in heaven, which means He sees me all the time. And I can access Him anytime. And I can be with Him anywhere. As I close this message, I want you to proclaim Jesus, the God who gave us access to the Father, the God who gave us the ability to pray. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup and join me in this short prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us how to pray effectively. Thank you for reminding us that we can all pray regardless of who we are in a personal way, very naturally. Thank you for giving us access to the Father in whose presence we find power and provision and protection as we pray. Help us to be sensitive to pray and to realize we can do so all the time, anytime, anywhere. As we pray, may we learn to understand, apply, master prayer so that one day it will be second nature to us. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you guys. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.